NCNI presents Boobcast with Katie and Kifa. We're both NCT qualified breastfeeding counsellors with five children between us and wide-ranging breastfeeding experiences. On this podcast, we'll be delving into some of the topics that come up most regularly when we talk to parents.
So in this episode, we're going to talk about setting boundaries and thinking about stopping breastfeeding, if that's something that you're considering or you're not really sure. When we're talking about setting boundaries, we're talking about an older child, so at least over one, more like over 18 months, maybe even two. Or maybe you're thinking about setting boundaries because you feel like breastfeeding is maybe too much for you, your toddler is feeding too often, or you're thinking about having another child or you're pregnant and you want to reduce the amount of breastfeeding. And also a lot of mothers find that setting boundaries gives them maybe a way to work towards stopping if it's something that you want to do quite slowly. And it's not necessarily a one fits all.
Yeah.
But there are ways that you can reduce breastfeeding without stopping.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, we've had conversations with other women in this position. And I think one thing that I always feel is important in those situations is reassuring the mum that it's okay to feel like this and to celebrate what they've achieved so far.
And I think a lot of women find that once they have got to a certain point and they feel like their life is moving a bit more, you know, maybe they're back to work, their toddler is on solids, eating a lot of food, varied food and things like that, that they feel like breastfeeding doesn't have the same place that it had before.
Yeah.
And it's totally okay to feel like that. And it's really normal to feel like that, that maybe things should have moved on slightly. Mm. Sometimes toddlers don't just get that memo as early as we do.
Exactly. And toddler has had mum on tap for a long time. And to them, mum and boobies are the world. And how dare you even consider not letting me continue this? The reality is, it's the woman's body. And if she starts to have feelings of, I just can't keep doing this, then those feelings need to be acknowledged. And, you know, mum needs to be supported to reduce, if that's what she wants to do, or stop completely if that's what she's decided. The problem comes when it's not a quick fix.
Yeah, so we get quite a lot of women saying that, you know, their baby's waking up a lot at night and that they're feeding too much, particularly overnight, but it can be during the day as well. I suppose it depends on, you know, their setup or situation, but the night waking, often the breastfeeding stopping is not going to stop it. And no. Night waking is something that really needs to be normalized, because for some reason it tends to be that when you start complaining about your child waking at night, which the majority of babies and toddlers do for a lot longer than you think, you know, it tends to be that the solution is, well, you just need to stop breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And that's an issue, because then it becomes intertwined with a woman
who needs
sleep. A tired woman wanting to have a bit more control and needing to have a bit more control. And as women, we do so much. We have so much on our plates all the time that, you know, for us to say, I've had enough, this is too much, it's really, really hard. And it shouldn't be, because women should be allowed to express themselves and to say, look, this is not, it's not working for me. I really want to change something. And, you know, as women, often in society, we're kind of told, well, you know, you made this decision, so you have to live with it.
Or just stop then. You know, why are you making such a drama about this? And what we need to recognize is what comes along with that decision by the woman that she's ready to stop or wind down her breastfeeding journey is again all those emotions and that, you know, feeling of mom guilt and, oh, I should be doing more. And that's not okay. You know, those women need to be, like I said, they need to be celebrated and encouraged to really reflect and see what they've achieved and what they've done for their child.
And supported in a way that will help them to continue. Because often, you know, if a woman has breastfed for over a year, year and a half, and she's thinking, I'd really like to get to 2 years, but she knows that the only way that she'll get to 2 years is by being supported to set some boundaries, but not give up completely, because that's not what she wants and that's not what her child wants. Giving her that opportunity just to allow herself just to have a bit more space, to do it on her own terms a bit more.
Exactly. To have someone else be able to do bedtime, but acknowledge that mum would still like to do bedtime and that might involve baby, but baby needs to know that they can go to sleep in their other caregiver's arms, you know, in dad's arms or mum's arms or so.
Yeah. A big thing for me was naps, knowing that I could stop feeding to sleep for those naps once I got a bit older, and feeling like that was actually a break for me, because before that, you know, when you have a child who only contact naps, it's lovely, but at the same time it can be quite suffocating. And you know, it really depends on, you know, certain things. Sometimes it's the best thing in the world, and then other days you have a whole list of things that you want to do in that nap time and they will only sleep on you. So it's really worth acknowledging that, you know, sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not. And, you know, working towards a goal of, well, if my child can just fall asleep on their own for a nap, then I'm happy to continue breastfeeding them in the evening to sleep. I'm happy to continue feeding them overnight, or I'm happy to continue feeding them in the morning. It's just setting a sort of a time for yourself where you can think, I'll do this if I move this, or if we change this, then this might be better. And it might not always be better. It just depends.
But that's it, you know. And mothers don't ever really get the opportunity to figure that out. They'll berate themselves for even considering wanting to stop or change their rhythm or routine slightly, and then you'll have a lot of people surrounding them going, just stop. And it's rare unless they have that support group and those peers that can really empathize and let them know that they're seen and it's okay, and you know, it's going to take time to make these changes in your journey.
And there's lots of things that you can think about, you know, when do you normally feed and which feed would be the easiest one to drop, which one would be the easiest one to change your routine around, which is the one that you cannot drop. And, you know, thinking about how that will make you feel if you can maybe not feed through the afternoon, or you have the morning where you've got a gap in between feeds. You know, if you're feeding a toddler who is already on, you know, 0 to 60 and first thing in the morning, then, you know, it could be just that way, just to reconnect with them in the morning. And then you've got a few hours where you do other things and different activities and things. But if you're thinking about maybe, you know, they often feed mid-morning, what's something that you can do?
What's my alternative? Instead of, how do I change up? You know, I know that women that are feeding older toddlers, you know, that in that 2 to 3 year range, and as toddlers do, they become quite dictative and expect. And a lot of the time, if mum's sitting at 11:30 having her cup of tea on the sofa, toddler's gonna climb up and just help themselves. So maybe by changing where they're having their cup of tea, it takes away that ease of access for their child. And that could be a gentle change that people could put into their routine.
Yeah, and you know, it doesn't have to be a big drama. It can just be a very gentle change of routine. Maybe we decide to go out for a walk at that time. Maybe when we get back, we decide that we're going to watch something or we're going to play a certain game, and that can be the distraction that they need.
Yeah.
But if a child is really not taking no for an answer, which often happens, like you say, 2 to 3 year olds are notorious for really having their own mind.
Not hearing that word, no.
And that's the other thing. It's okay to say no. You know, it's really about being gentle and being present with your child. But you can say no. That is part
and
of setting
the boundary. Confidently, you know, if it's something that you really need to do, then offering your no, especially with that older age range, but offering, you know, the reassurance and an alternative. You know, no, you can't breastfeed right now, but we can have a snuggle. Would you like to tuck in beside me? It'll still be met with a big how dare you. However, as you say, it's how it's said and how it's delivered. And I think it's so easy to go, all right, fine, and then you feel bad and you're in some cases resentful that your child just isn't getting the message, because it's really hard to keep that no up whenever you know what would stop them from tantruming.
So an alternative is that you could offer them a very short feed. You can offer them
countdowns.
You could sing a song, and then once the song's finished, you could do ABCs or, you know, Baba Black Sheep or whatever it is, your nursery rhyme of choice. And sometimes, you know, if you say we'll do it 3 times and then that's the end of the feed.
That's your limit, yeah.
And then there's a sort of a precedent there that you're giving them what they want, but it's in a smaller dose. And that can also give you the opportunity then to reduce further.
Yeah.
So they get used to that's a short feed. Sometimes they'll just decide, oh, it's not worth it. And then the very persistent ones will continue going, but you can reduce, you know, the amount of time.
Yeah.
And so there are ways that you can work around the defiance and the real need that they have. But really the main thing is that you're really role modeling something that you feel strongly about something, and it's okay for your toddler to know that you don't feel that you want to continue breastfeeding in the way that you have previously, that you want to take a bit more control of yourself, of your body. And that's what we're teaching our children. So why shouldn't we role model that ourselves?
And so if you've reduced the number of feeds that you have and you're still feeling like I really feel like I'm done. In your experience with working with other women, have you found that that's something that comes quite naturally then once it's really been weaned back to the bare bones?
I think very often women find that once they've started to reduce the amount of feeds, if they're still feeling like they want continue with reducing the feeds and leading to stopping, then gradually reducing, so taking one feed out at a time, working on that, often you can get down to one feed, normally that bedtime feed, which is the hardest usually. And not the one you take out first,
no, because it's so practical.
So practical. That then there is an opportunity there, just get down to that one feed and to reduce that one completely and take that out. And that also gives your body time to get used to feeding less. You know, your body's been feeding for a couple of years and the milk doesn't go away straight away, but it does give your breasts a chance to get used to producing smaller amounts.
And then what goes alongside that reducing of feeds is that you unfortunately lose those doses of oxytocin that are coursing around your body. And obviously if you've been feeding for a long time, the levels are pretty low anyway. But a lot of women, even though stopping breastfeeding is what they want and what they decided, once they achieve that, there's still in some cases a mourning process that kind of happens.
That I think that happens to so many women, and it's unexpected mm-hmm. because you think that because you've stopped feeding gradually and your child is a bit older and you've got used to feeding a bit less anyway, there wouldn't be that dip in the hormones. Mm-hmm. There wouldn't be that crash. It's mm-hmm. a hormone crash basically, and it can last for a week or two, it can last for a bit longer, and it can take a lot of women by surprise because it's not something they have expected to happen. Yeah, it's not something that is really talked about. Exactly. You know, it does go away, that's the upside of it, and you might be angry for a few days. Worth noting.
Yes.
But overall, it's temporary, but it's worth knowing about because, mm. you know, you can maybe think about how those days after, often with a toddler, you've talked about it. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's just coming out of the blue.
No.
For them, it's something that you would have talked about. It's something that you can discuss, that, you know, maybe if they're not completely on board, at least they're sort of understanding that yeah. this is happening. And you can get really good books as well that sort of explain the
process and why this has happened to happen. I did get that for my daughter 2 years ago, whenever I had really hoped to stop breastfeeding, and she just refused to read it.
My toddler threw a book across the room for a good week.
Yep, it was not being entertained at all. But that was,
I think they do work for a lot of people, though. There's quite a few books that are, and maybe it's just a matter of finding the one that works for your child, the one that
they are lovely,
they can relate
stories
to.
And
they are really nice,
you know, really gentle and explains it. But yes, like you say, there's other resources. I would say, like most things in parenthood, parent experiences more trauma and upset than the child ultimately does.
I think that's true, yeah. And I think when you talk to a child who's been breastfed, who's been breastfed up to toddlerhood or a bit longer, they have fond memories of it. I don't think they really remember any kind of trauma with stopping.
No.
As long as, you know, it was done in quite a gentle way. I mean, that doesn't mean that they didn't cry. The parents were there for the child, were comforting. Unfortunately, sometimes you can be the most gentle parent in the world, but sometimes your child cries. And
that's
it's
okay.
Really about how you deal with it.
Yeah.
And like you say, talking to other parents, reaching out, finding your village, finding people who have been through the same thing can be really, really helpful. And just reframing how you feel about something, because you feel so guilty.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. Instead of, wow, look how long I did this. And maybe in those early days, if you can remember that far, getting to a week seemed like the biggest mountain you were facing.
Yeah, and there's so much that should be celebrated about a breastfeeding journey. And there's so many things that you are just, you know, for you and your child, and, you know, the bond that you created, and the moments that you had together, and long stretches through the night where you're breastfeeding them, but it was the only way to keep them asleep.
Yeah.
You know, there's ups and downs, but
of course,
in the end, you did it.
Yeah. And it needs to be celebrated.
That needs to be celebrated.
You've been listening to NCTNI Presents Boobcast with Katie and Kiefer. Join us next time for more breastfeeding chat. This podcast is brought to you in association with NCT Northern Ireland and funded by the Public Health Agency NI. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram and find out more about our courses on the NCT website.